Sunrose Yoga Podcast. Reveal your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. Hello, my dears, and welcome. This is episode 94 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. This is Kelly, and in today's class, we take a look at brahmacharya, the practice of moderation. This is an all-levels class. It's about an hour and 15 minutes. Culminates in a therapeutic version of shoulder stand. Thank you so much for being here, always. Thank you for sharing your practice. I do love hearing from all of you, so please connect. You can find out all of the ways how at sunroseyoga.com. You can email me, you can tweet me, all of that jazz. You can Facebook me. Friends, I am endeavoring to purchase a harmonium. If you have enjoyed this podcast or the writings on my site, please consider contributing to the harmonium fund. I promise to share lots and lots of chants and songs by video and audio and in person once I buy it. You can donate securely via PayPal by clicking the donate button on sunroseyoga.com. Thank you. Thanks to those of you who have already donated and those of you who are sending positive vibes my way as well. Everybody, please stay in touch. Love.
We've been talking about the eight limbs of yoga, as described by Patanjali in sutras. And we've been talking about the yamas, the abstentions, the ethical, the very elemental, essential ethical practices of yoga. And we've talked about ahimsa, nonviolence. We've talked about satya, truth. We've talked about asteya, non-stealing. And today we talk about brahmacharya. Has anyone ever heard this word, brahmacharya, before? So sometimes it's translated as chastity or celibacy. And which is kind of funny and interesting. But literally, from the Sanskrit, it means to walk with God. So one translation that I work with, when the practitioner is firmly established in continence, pause, knowledge, vigor, valor, and energy flow to him or her. And another one I like is, by abiding in behavior that respects the divine as omnipresent, one acquires an inspired passion for life. And so one way that we can look at this is moderation. Rather than looking at the practice of brahmacharya as one where we abstain completely from anything, sex, whatever, it's sort of this idea that we maintain balance by not letting one thing consume our energy. And I think that maybe we can all relate to that at some time in our lives where we've been obsessed with something, whether it's something that's good for us or something that's, you know, not so great for us. From time to time, I will undertake these cleanses. I for the most part, I eat like a high raw, high vegan diet to begin with. But I have a tendency to like really like get obsessive about things. And I will notice if I do a little cleanse that I'm like, food has complete control over every decision I make, over every thought. Is this vegan? Was a bee injured? So that is why I say that although I sort of in general eat high raw, high vegan, I like to make sure that there's moderation in there. Kevin will attest to this because last week I brought cookies to class that were, they had eggs, they had sugar, they had butter.
They were delicious.
they had all the stuff in them, and that's sort of, that's what my way of practicing brahmacharya. Becoming human means discovering our fullness and learning to live from it. Bring your all to your practice. Be vulnerable, be sad, be happy, be mad, but be there. All right, well, let's just make our way to a luminous seat. Somewhere where you can really settle into the sitting bones. And scan the lower body, noticing if you are holding or gripping. And into those places, simply invite ease, invite softness, invite the sensation of being held by the earth. And from that place of softness, begin to remember the length of the spine. And as you sit in this place, at once engaged and relaxed, notice how the breath moves the body. Notice how you are moved by breathing. And let the hands make their way to your heart in whatever way feels natural, whatever shape, mudra, or gesture. And perhaps the weight of the hands at the heart can remind you of what is always there. Your true nature. which is divine, which is love and peace. And as it comes to you, as it feels right, let a breath out invite you to bow your heart, your head to your heart. Bow to the pursuit of remembering. That you are whole, that you are enough, that you are love. And we'll slowly release the hands as it feels right, and lift the face and the focus. And then take your time to make your way to all fours, hands and knees. Table pose, Chakravakasana. Really taking the time to thoughtfully place the hands. Noticing really the contact you're making with your mat. Feel that. Let the fingertips be spread wide. Really feel the support of your entire palm, from the heels of your hands all the way out to the very tips of your fingers. And then just let the heart drop down a little bit below the grade of the shoulders. And with a breath in, press the hands into the floor and start to lift the back of the heart. Just really small movements at first. And as you breathe out, let the heart drop down. And as you breathe in, let the back of the heart rise up. And we'll move like this, just sort of oscillating on either side of the tops of the shoulders. Letting yourself notice what you notice about this movement, and letting yourself notice how far out from that locus, that center of movement, you feel this. And this is one of those shapes where there's no right or wrong way to be. There's nothing to attain. Which can be really tricky, particularly for the mind, because the mind's always looking for, okay, how do I ace this? How do I finish up and move on? How do I just check this off the list? And for these seemingly simple movements, or these movements where it's more about being curious than about accomplishing anything, that can be really difficult. And so from here, let these movements become smaller and smaller, closer and closer to the spine, continuing with that lens of sort of how far out can I feel it? How far down the spine can I feel it? Do I feel it in the hips, the legs, the hands? And then once you've arrived at that point where maybe from the outside world it appears like you're not moving, you've just got this teeny tiny movement around the spine, around the shoulders, let a breath in, really lengthen you from your tailbone all the way beyond the crown of the head, tucking the toes under. And as you breathe out, move your hips back toward your heels. And just sort of hang out here, pressing the hands into the floor, pressing the feet back toward, the booty back toward the feet. So you get this nice stretch through the soles of the feet. And you might notice as you hang out here that your breath and your breaths inspire some movements. Or that simply by being here for a breath or two, things start to settle in a way. And again, there's no right or wrong way to be. There's nothing to attain other than curiosity, other than the sense of responsibility. Where am I mentally? Where am I physically? And with a breath in, slowly start to draw yourself back toward the table. You might round the spine and then again find neutral. And with a breath out, as it comes to you, start to lift the knees away from the earth and really slowly find your way to downward dog. Like you're really trying out the exact angle between the torso and the lower body. You're really trying to figure out where the hands are best placed on the earth in this moment. And you might start to notice your feet and where the big toes and where the balls of the feet and where the pinky toes are situated in space. And then, if it feels right, you might just start to bounce where you lift your heels up together and then let them move back down, and notice how that sort of ripples and ricochets up your body. How waves of movement might emerge. They might not, but certainly something will happen, and that something is just our supreme fascination in this moment. As it comes to you and as it feels right, let a breath in sweep your right leg toward the sky. And we'll keep the hips square to the earth, so let your right hip be a little bit heavier than it otherwise might normally be. And see if you can just simply notice where you're feeling things here. If you're shifting, if you're feeling pretty balanced from left to right, if now one part of your body is carrying more weight than the other. And there's no right answer, there's just awareness. And then having noted that, engage your right foot. Maybe flex it, maybe spread the toes, and see how far out you can feel that. Just see. And we'll take one more breath in here, and as you breathe out, we'll step that right foot all the way forward between the hands, and feel free to help it along the way or to move from table if that feels better for you. And so just for a breath or two here, we'll sort of create a solid foundation. When we're lunging, we want to make sure, for the most part, that our knee is right over top of the ankle and the shin is perpendicular to earth. And you might separate your feet a little bit so you just feel like you have a solid foundation. And I'm not saying that it'll feel easy. Heck no, I wouldn't say that. Now with a breath in, really press out through your left heel. And if you can, for a minute or two, just imagine like you have a beam of light shooting out through that heel. And that beam of light is running parallel with the earth. So it's definitely lifted away from the floor. And you might even bend your left knee a little bit. Good, and now let's firmly plant the left hand on the floor or on a block right underneath your shoulder. And you might even feel like lowering your left knee down to the earth here.
And as you breathe in, reach your right hand forward toward the front of the room. And as you breathe out, reach your right hand back toward the back of the room. And as you breathe in, do the same. And as you breathe out, do the same. Just start to follow the wave of your breath here, breathing in and breathing out. And you might notice some other movements start to reveal themselves. Again, there's no right or wrong way to be in this shape. We are practicing curiosity. Knees might find themselves bending or straightening. Your head might find itself moving in one way or another. Go with that and see where it takes you. As things become challenging, you might find yourself dealing with a new type of resistance. You might find new thoughts arising. And whatever you're thinking, whatever you're feeling, you're normal. It's normal. And know that it's what the mind does, just thinks. Tosses things out for us. It's totally normal. And in those moments of awareness, if you can simply bring yourself back to that place of curiosity, asking, what do I actually feel? What is actually happening? Now, the next time you're inhaling and reaching forward, let's pause there, and we'll grow really long. From your right hand all the way out through your left heel. Good. And then slowly bring your right hand to the top of your right thigh and press down, bringing your torso up. Then maybe bring your left hand to the top of the thigh as well. And for now, we'll be working with the heel lifted just in our high lunge. And as you breathe in, open the arms wide like you're hugging the entire universe. And as you breathe out, hug yourself. And we'll do this again at the pace of the breath. And you might find legs straightening and bending. You might find your body sending you certain messages. Just listen to them. And then you might ask yourself, okay, what do I really feel, actually? How much of my experience is this loop of thought that I just tell myself about my body, about my experience? How much is what's happening right now? And the next time you breathe out and you're hugging yourself, pause here. Let your elbows become really heavy. We'll bend the back knee a little bit, just enough so that you can let your tailbone become a little heavy. So you've got just the natural curves in your spine. Yeah. And let's release the right hand down just next to you. Just like let it hang. And reach the left hand toward the sky. And with a breath in, see if you can increase the space between the right and the left hand. Your body might curve a little bit to the right. And with a breath out, bring both hands back to your right thigh. And just pause. Using that the hands on the leg as support, we're going to lower the left heel down and open up into Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. Arms are wide in T. Right toes are pointing toward the front of the room. Left toes are pointing in some angle toward the long side of the mat. Good. What do you feel? Where? Where are you resisting gravity? Where are you surrendering to it? With the breath in, bend your right elbow and bring your right forearm to the top of your right thigh. And as you breathe out, let your left hand become heavy. And then almost like you're just tracing a semicircle, reach for the place where the wall and the ceiling meet at the front of the room, palm facing down, and then soften your shoulder away from your ear. Good. So here we're going to do a little experiment. I know it's terrible hanging out here forever. So just be how you're being and notice what you feel in both of your legs. Which leg is working hard? You can call it out too if you'd like.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, let's bring left leg on board. Maybe press the ball of the foot into the earth. Maybe see if you can feel all of your toes, if you have toes, pressing into the earth. And then your heel. And then just for fun, see if you can engage your left booty cheek too. Just like flex it. Now, how does that feel? A little different? Yeah. Remember that. As you breathe in, cartwheel the hands toward the earth. And as you breathe out, nice, slow path to downward dog. Take your time. Again, like you're going there for the first time, like you are just placing your body as mindfully as possible. And with a breath in, sweep your left leg toward the sky. Let that left hip be a little bit heavier so that your belly button and the points of the hips are facing the earth, so that all of your toes are facing the earth. And again, sort of notice how things feel just with this shift. And then notice what you feel as you engage your left leg. Maybe spread the toes. Maybe brighten through your heel or brighten through the spaces between your toes. Oh. And then with a breath out, as it comes to you, step your left foot forward between the hands. Just sort of pause in our high lunge, remembering that we can always lower the right knee to the earth. And you can always make adjustments. Not like it's a show or a performance where you have to stick it and then smile to the audience. You can always move. You can always change. And the more you're able to notice and make those little incremental changes, the more you're really right here, right now. Good. And we'll plant the right hand underneath the shoulder, either on the floor or on your block. And again, with a breath in, sweep your right arm, reach for the front of the room, maybe even grow long from your heel to your hand. And then with your next breath out, when it comes to you, reach that arm back toward the back of the room. And just sort of keep that movement going, reaching and reaching at the pace of the breath. Letting what comes, come. This will look different for everybody. This will probably look and feel different from left side to right side. Notice what you notice. There's nothing to attain other than curiosity. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we've got all this stuff happening and it's hard to even like settle down enough to notice anything. And if you find yourself in that boat, you're not alone. And a wonderful place to begin is just noticing how it feels to breathe in this shape. And the next time you breathe, really long, maybe pressing out through your right heel. You might even let your heart be a little bit light. You might even sense that you're broadening or widening between your sitting bones. You're just giving yourself more space everywhere. And then slowly bring your hands to the top of the left thigh. And you might decide here, oh, I wish I had lowered my knee to the floor. Well, guess what? You can do it now. Good. And as you sort of find your anchor, as you breathe in, open the arms wide like you're hugging the world. And as you breathe out, hug yourself. And if you notice that you hug the same way every time, you can just switch it up here and there. And if you notice certain parts of your body want to move along with this, or any companion to this, let them move, let that be amplified. Maybe your head becomes a part. Maybe your fingernails take part. Maybe your eyelashes are a part of this movement. And the next time you find yourself hugging yourself, pause there. Let your elbows be heavy. Maybe bend your back knee if it's not on the earth enough so that you can really let your tailbone feel gravity. The tops of the shoulders relax. And then release your arms. Reach your right hand toward the sky, and with the breath in, see if you can increase the space between the hands. So the right hand is reaching toward the sky, the left hand is reaching toward the earth, and maybe the body curves and curls a little too. And as you inhale, second side of Uttita Parsakanasana. Bring your hands to the top of your left thigh. And with the breath out, we'll turn our right heel to the earth and open the hips toward the long side of the mat. And engage your upper body as you open the arms out to T. Virabhadrasana 2. Now just for fun while we're here, we're warriors. Let's see if maybe you can imagine yourself taking a bow and drawing it back and letting it go. Just for a breath or two. Just go crazy. As DJ Lance from Yo Gabba Gabba says. Go crazy. Go crazy. If you don't have a little piece for it, I don't know what that is. But that's all about. And then with the breath in, bend your left elbow, bring the forearm to the top of the thigh. And as you breathe out, release your right hand down and just trace that semicircle to where you're reaching for where the wall and the ceiling meet at the front of the room, and then relaxing your shoulders down your back. And then find both of your feet. Find the points of contact that your body makes with the earth. So effort and ease, find both. As you breathe in, cartwheel the hands to the earth. And as you breathe out, slowly go back toward downward facing dog, just for a breath. And then we'll lower the knees to the earth, to a table. And if it feels right, you could take a breath or two in Bhaktasana, or devotional, or child's pose, where the booty is resting on the heels and the forehead rests on the earth, letting your hands take whatever position feels right. Outstretched, close by on your sacrum, experiment, and continue that practice of noticing, of being curious. In these quiet moments, you just might feel yourself or find yourself realizing how the parts of the body fit together. And then very slowly, as it comes to you, and there is never any rush, we'll make our way to sitting. You sit with your bum on your heels, or once you sit up, you decide that you would rather place your blanket or your block between your feet and sit back. This is a perfectly nice way to sit too. So, ultimately tonight we'll be moving in the direction of shoulder stand. And before we get submerged or immersed in shoulder stand, there are a couple of things to remember that we've been working on up until this point. So just like our warrior, just like our Uttita Parsvakonasana, extended lateral angle, we feel the ripples of, we feel the effects of what parts of the body are doing in totally different parts of the body. You felt that when you were just letting your heart drop down and rise up again. And that's very true. You notice that maybe more profoundly when we're upside down, how just engaging the feet can give this sense of lifting up. So keep that in mind. While we're sitting here, for some of us who have very flexible or bendy lumbar curves, the natural way, the way things just sort of naturally fall is the belly wants to move forward and have this sort of like real profound curve in the back. Over time, it can create some weakness there. The antidote to that isn't necessarily to wrench the tailbone under the body, but to just sort of naturally let the base of the spine be heavy. You might feel yourself just sit back a little bit. And then to that end, just sort of see if you can invite your belly button to move toward the back of the body. Like, not a sucking in, not anything, like you don't need to look a different way than you look, but just sort of to engage and to encourage a long spine. Now from there, just remember the lightness of your heart. Yeah. So, yes.
When you made that, I heard that, describe that belly button towards your head is threading those abdominal muscles.
Your ever wrench or drive. Just soften. And then let your awareness come to the bottom of your shoulder blades, just to the very bottom of your wings. And see if you can just let them know gravity. I know this is hard. Turn the palms of the hands to face the sky, and with a breath in, just bring them all the way up, and maybe even pretend like you're diving, like, oh, you're making yourself just as streamlined as possible. Notice how things are. There's no right or wrong way, just notice. And then again, sort of let things settle. Maybe your tailbone settles, maybe the tops of the shoulders settle, maybe the bottom of your wings. Maybe your belly button moves toward the spine. And with a breath out, release. And does anyone have any insights that arose from that shoulder therapy? Anything you'd like to share? So anytime that you feel like just saying, like, I hate that, that's fine too. It's totally.
It's such an intense feeling up here, you forget to keep.
It's true. And it might be one of those places where you become aware of those places where you maybe habitually hold or grab. When things get rough, where immediately do you tense up? So we're going to go onto our backs on the floor and just do a little teeny tiny core work before we go upside down. So we'll come to our backs. And then draw your right knee to the chest and your left knee to the chest. And then extend your right foot and your left foot toward the sky. Straightening the legs. And then sort of cultivate this idea or this sensation of relaxed engagement, where maybe you separate your feet 12 inches or 18 inches and you engage your feet. Maybe you spread the toes, or maybe you flex the feet and then soften a little bit so that you're able to feel your leg bones sort of settling into their socket. And if there's a way to encourage or invite yourself to continue to breathe from top to bottom, through the nose, with a sense of ease, even though I know things are hard. And then if it feels okay, extend your arms in just the same way, where your palms are facing one another and they're parallel to each other and they're parallel with the legs. And the sense of relaxed engagement, where your hands are participating, but then everything sort of settles into sockets. You're alive, but also yielding to gravity in some sense. And I know it's hard, but you might just be aware, once you have that sense of, oh, this is hard, maybe you ask where exactly you're feeling, what exactly you're feeling, and how far out you're feeling. And then slowly, with a breath in, hug your knees to your chest. And just rock a little from side to side. So then, if it's not too much trouble, I'll ask that you come back to the seat. And I'm going to demonstrate a few ways of being in shoulder stand and give you a couple of my two cents. Now, just to start, has anyone practiced shoulder stand and then after the class felt like, I wish I had not done that? Everybody's always felt great. Okay, I haven't done it before.
Okay, I'm actually having a lot of shoulder pain.
I have something for you.
Okay.
We'll do all sort of the entire spectrum. So, sort of, I hate to say traditionally because that sort of connotes that postures have been around for thousands and thousands of years, which they have not. For the most part, the physical practice that we do is 150 years old. So traditionally, with that caveat in mind, shoulder stand was practiced like this, where you're stacking ankles over knees, over hips, over shoulders. And over time, even under the best of circumstances, I don't have any neck injuries. I've done this pose thousands of times and feel fairly confident in my alignment. Under the best of circumstances, practicing like that can cause some weakening to the cervical spine over time. So, I recommend, even if you've got total perfect neck health, to practice whatever version you're doing, with a blanket underneath your shoulders so that your head is off of the blanket. And this helps you maintain your natural curve in your neck. So what we want to avoid is tucking the chin under. See how that like really flattens out my cervical spine? Imagine putting the weight of the rest of my body on that and crunching. Oof. Yikes. Worse even still would be to put a blanket under your head because that just exacerbates that movement. So very essential alignment for shoulder stand is a natural neck. You should feel space between your neck and the earth, and you should just be gazing straight ahead at the ceiling like the most fascinating thing is happening. That said, when you're up, when your feet are up, don't look left, don't look right, even if I'm saying something that is just blowing your mind. Don't look. So, beyond that, all of those shoulder therapy items that we worked on, we're going to be using. The hands engage. We draw the shoulders just down. We draw the shoulder blades down the back. And as you're lying down, and you invite your wings to move down your back, you'll notice that my heart just sort of naturally lifts as I do that. This is helpful. From here, I like to turn my palms down, draw the knees to the chest, and with a breath in, move the knees away from you. With a breath out, sort of hoist your hips up. So I'm going to be demonstrating two different ways to approach shoulder stand. The first is to place the hands here on the low back and then to extend the feet toward the sky. Engaging feet helps lift up. So this is more of a traditional approach. Sort of a new wave approach is to sort of make a shelf with your hands and set your sacrum on it. This, oh my gosh, my cervical spine loves this. My neck loves this.
So that's a better option if you might have some kind of concern.
And I have a couple teachers who I work with who that's the only way they're teaching it nowadays. And I think...
Because you're still getting the benefit of the
flexibility. Definitely. Long term, you might want to consider moving in that direction. It's more holistic, it's more therapeutic, it's less likely, because even when you're supported with your blanket, the weight of your whole body, if you're practicing in a traditional way, is still like all on your shoulders. So those are things to think about. Option three, and this is also option one, it could be everyone's starting point, is to find your alignment on the floor, find your heart moving toward your chin and neck natural. Press to bridge Setubandha Sarvangasana. Place your block under there and either hold in the block or not, whichever feels best. Extend and extend. This is almost exactly the same shape as the second pose that I did, but it's easier on your wrists. Because whereas the neck and the shoulders were taking the weight of your body in the traditional pose, with the holistic therapeutic, your arms are holding the heaviest part of your body. And over time, if you've got wrist trouble or if over time that just seems like a lot, this is great. And you're getting all of the benefits.
And benefits being core strengthening and blood flow to the neck, thyroid, brain.
Yeah. And then also, energetically, when we're working in shoulder stand, the throat, the thyroid, the Vasuddha chakra, this sort of bridge between heart and mind, is purified. You become aware, really, of how breath is moving into the body through that phase. Does everyone feel like, do you think that'll be too much for your shoulders? So
this is my right one, it's not both.
Mm-hmm.
How about either legs off the wall, or if you want to get a little inversion,
yeah, I'll try that.
This with on the smallest.
Yeah, that's
good. Yeah. With doing all the, I'm gonna watch you doing all the alignment.
All right, so I will talk you in if you are moving towards shoulder stand.
Is my block in the right place?
Yes, your block looks great. How does it feel?
I mean, I've never done it before, so it feels different, but it's okay.
I think most things in yoga feel weird in the first 500 times. Yeah.
It doesn't hurt.
Yes, and now you can start to, let your belly button move toward the back of the body. Let your shoulders just be invited away from your ears. Very nice neck. Very nice. And I see your feet are working. I know your legs are participating. Everything looks beautiful.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I did a lot lower.
Oh, good, good. Feet. Now please, if you have particular questions or if you would like me to talk you through anything, I just see such beautiful things happening here that I don't want to harass anyone, but if you want to be harassed by me, tell me.
So what's your opinion of plow pose with the holotherapeutic stance?
Plow, you should definitely practice with your blanket. Mm-hmm. I've also been doing it with something behind me, and I can demonstrate that too, where you put your feet back either onto a chair or you press your feet into the wall.
Okay, so they don't flop all the way back to the floor.
Yeah. Because for me, every time I practice plow in sort of a traditional way, I feel like crap afterwards.
Well, my back feels way better afterwards, but it feels like crazy intense while I'm doing it. So it's like borderline scary, but then afterwards I was like, oh, that feels way better. But doing this,
I don't even know about that borderline scary. That guy and I know each other.
Yeah, so you're not alone. That, so for those two poses, I feel like for people, they can bring up, I feel like people kind of fall into two camps where it's like either, oh, what's the big deal? This feels as normal as walking my dog. Or it's like feels really crazy and potentially like just weird.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like my first 10 years of practicing shoulder stand, I yearned to avoid it. I didn't avoid it, but I really wanted to. But it's mostly been sort of working on a more therapeutic way, on a therapeutic level that is, I don't despise it anymore. I enjoy it much more now. So we have a few minutes. Once you're ready to come on down, do it slowly. If you're supported by the block, I think it's nice to draw one knee in and then the other knee in and then lower down slowly. And then it's very nice after all that really to hug the knees to the chest and to maybe rock from side to side. And again, sort of traditionally or historically, the pose that's been taught immediately following shoulder stand is fish or matsyasana. And I feel like that's just too much in the opposite direction for the neck. So I think that a good way to neutralize the neck before practicing a huge back bend is just a very gentle spinal twist. And we can do this lying down extremely gently. If you would like to move your blanket out of the way, go ahead. And if you'd like to keep it there, that's fine too. And we'll just extend the arms out to T and lift the feet up off the floor so your knees are moving toward your chest, and then flex your feet just a little bit. And as you take your next breath out, start to lower the knees, lower the low body to the right as you gaze over your left shoulder. And if there's a way to let this be soft and let it be heavy and let it be sweet, do that. And if you notice parts of the body where you're really resisting gravity's pull, invite them to just feel gravity, to just know gravity. To you as it feels right, with the breath in, draw your knees back toward the center. Draw your gaze back toward the center. And as you breathe out, lower the legs to the left, shift the gaze to the right, and let everything be heavy. There's no need to force any part of your body to go anywhere. And with your next breath in as it comes to you,
Bring yourself back to the center. And then with the knees bent, lower the feet to the floor. And bring the hands to the head so that the heels of your hands are resting on your brow bones and your fingers are just sort of resting in your hair or on your head. And start by letting the tops of the shoulders become heavy. And letting the hands become heavy. And if you'd like, just walk your hands back and forth, left to right, moving in whatever way feels good. Moving in whatever way feels appropriate for this moment. And slowly release your arms to the earth and just pause. If there is a movement or a shape that is calling to you, heed that call. And let that be an invitation, a way towards your pose of final rest. And that can look like anything. That can be lying on the back or the belly. That can be sitting or propping your legs up the wall. Bringing the soles of the feet together, bending the knees. Whatever shape or movement or mudra of the body will bring you to a place of no effort, no muscle. Go there and be there. And you might approach Shavasana, or our pose of final rest, or corpse pose, as you would any other posture, with curiosity. And you might ask what you are feeling in every part of your body, in each part of your body. And you might notice how your breath responds to the shape. And how breathing moves your body in this shape. And you might continue on to notice thoughts if and as they arise. And rather than worry about them too much, worry about having them. Allow yourself to be as curious or scientific or objective about them as you can be. Noticing things like the speed at which they arise and fall, the qualities they take on. You might even notice your reaction to having them. You might become aware of where your body is positioned in space. That is, where your body is positioned relative to the earth and to the ceiling, the walls of this room. You might begin to sense where other objects and other people are around you. You might begin to notice sounds outside of the room, outside of the space. And you might become aware of where we collectively have gathered relative to our neighborhood, to Portland, to the Northwest. Sort of seeing where we are from higher and higher, from farther and farther. Begin to bring your awareness back into your own body, back to your own breath. And bring movement slowly back to your body, to your fingers and your toes. To your head and your neck. And at some point it might feel right to draw the knees to the chest and to rock from side to side. And you might pause just for a moment or two at your favorite side before slowly coming back to your seat, taking your time, moving with great sense of curiosity and sensitivity. wants to make their way back to your heart. Letting the weight of the hands be a reminder of the divine within you, the divine around you, always. Thank you for sharing your practice. Thank you for sharing yourself. May you know the divine within until we meet again and always. Namaste.
Namaste.
Please, always, if you have any questions, ask. If you have anything to tell me, tell me.